Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present on history.org. This is Behind the Scenes.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I'm Harmony Hunter, and we're on location today at Jamestown Island. I'm here with Bill Kelso, who is Director of Archaeology on Jamestown Island. Last time we were together, it was 2007, and you had been excavating a cellar feature. What's happened in the meantime? What are you working on now?
Well, our current focus has been on what it must be at this point, a well that John Smith commissioned to be constructed in 1609. The settlers began to figure out that the water was bad from the river, and so that this was a solution. And what's so exciting about it is that it probably had a very short lifespan because of other circumstances that were going on in the colony. And so these artifacts had accumulated during the first 3 years, which were probably the most harsh and challenging years of the colony. And there it is, you know, just all piled in there, armor, arms, ceramics, and some of the most unique artifacts I've ever seen.
Now, this is not the first well that you found.
It's not the first well, but we needed to find another. We know there was more than one inside the fort, probably three, actually. There's a hint of the record saying there are three. We had found one, and it appeared that that was likely to be the second well that replaced this one that I just mentioned that we're working on that went bad. So we found the second well first, and now we had to really prove that it was the second well by finding another one that dates earlier, and that's what has happened.
Now, you've got two wells. One is 1609, one is 1611. How are you able to tell a difference of 2 years?
That's very rare in historical archaeology to be able to do that. But we can do that here because of the fact that we've looked at what we call seal deposits, and then looking at the profile of the artifacts and beginning to see, in some cases we're finding coins and other dated things that actually have dates on them. So that begins to make this profile. We've been doing it so long that we can tell what are the very first deposits and what things are after it because of, in my mind, basically it comes down to clay tobacco pipe styles. The earliest ones are very distinctive, and they've been found on other 1609 sites. The one thing is the earliest pipes are the smallest, and tobacco was very expensive, and so people, you know, you couldn't really light up for hours, so to speak. But the bowls can get slightly bigger, and it's just a style thing. You know, it's just, you look at, you know, the car models every year change. I mean, it's like that. So there's a switch. And we found a lot of those kinds of pipes in the second well. But in this well, it's all exclusively the kind that I think these are the earliest.
How did you know where to look for these wells?
Well, our process has been first to define the limits of the fort. And that took years. And once that was done, the three sides of a triangle, where we have just taken certain areas inside it, one area at a time, exposed it, and see what was there. We kind of felt like there was a well in the center of the fort, and that's where we found this one, although the center to the colonists was a little off-center from what mathematics would tell you was the center of the triangle. So we had looked there years ago and didn't find anything. But we were within inches of the swell. And how we can tell it is that the soil that's filled in the hole after the hole is dug through the natural clay and the material that's thrown in there, particularly this garbage and trash that we found that was cleaned up, has a different color and texture than the surrounding soil. So it leaves what we call a soil stain that, in this case, kept on going down and down and out.
You're saying that the well that you are excavating now is probably the John Smith well. Can you talk a little bit about John Smith? What is the significance of this well being the one that was dug as he was in charge? I guess I'm asking, what was happening in the colony at that time, and how can you see that reflected in what you're finding in the well?
Well, in many ways, this is reflective of the fact that he was more of a practical guy. And that he isn't in charge of the colony until later, well, not in 1607. He was in chains when he got here. And in his pragmatism and his ability to adapt to the environment is so important. You've got to think back of the English mindset coming over here, not realizing what challenges there'd be in the environment, one of which is fresh water. And I always think, you know, Powhatan or the nearest village here who met with the colonists when they first got in here, they said, they landed, they decided to set up the colony on Jamestown Island. And the Virginia Indians said, oh, great, take all the land you want on the island. Because they knew there's no water here. There's no fresh water. There's no source. And that was a real problem. But Smith figured a way, let's just dig a well, you know. And it seemed, the puzzling thing is, why did it take so long? I mean, we're talking about almost 2.5 years later when they finally figure out that they need this. So why is it important? Well, because it's an example of a leadership that's realistic.
What are you finding in this well that is different from the 1611 well in terms of construction and artifacts?
The construction is interesting and different in that this was more than just a well. It was actually a building, a well house, or we'll call it a well house, was built fairly substantial, 14 by 16 feet square, and sunk down 5 feet before you even get to the part where they were drawing water. So it's a below-ground place to draw the water from the next 8 or 10 feet below that, and that it must have had a roof over it. So it's a cell, it's a building and a well, and that is attached to a building. This is an unrecorded building, but in the records, but it was attached to a storehouse. We know from signs in the soil of where major post holes have been put in to support a building that it was attached to it. It was side by side. The storehouse. This is a center building complex that was a surprise. But we've dug to the bottom or close to it, and we're finding that below the water table there are no artifacts. And it's interesting. In that sense, whereas the other well was loaded with things that had dropped in accidentally into the water while they're still using the well. So many things are very intact. In the second well, the first well, not so much, or basically not at all.
So in the 1611 well, you're finding artifacts in the bottom of it that are maybe vessels that were used to draw up water that accidentally got knocked in there, pitchers or mugs or something mm-hmm. like that. So when you get below the water table, that's something that sunk accidentally. But in the 1609 well that you're looking at now, you're saying you're not finding anything that appears to have dropped in. All the artifacts came after the well had dried up.
Right, exactly right. Yeah, and had been abandoned and probably for the second well.
What other kind of remains or artifacts are being found in the 1609 well?
Arms, armor, ammunition, ceramics, glass, really interesting glass objects. And then there are a lot of unique things. The one thing that I think it's the most important artifact found on an American historical site. And all it is a piece of slate. About 5 inches by 8 inches square, and very thin. But it had been used as a tablet, written on with slate pencil on slate. It's almost like chalk, but written on and written on and over and sideways, and pictures and text and all kinds of things survive on it in some degree or another because the slate person using it, whenever he really would bear down on the pencil, it would leave a scratch that couldn't be erased. And very faint, though. So it's like finding a book, and it's written on both sides. And I'm trying to think, maybe 21 different drawings of flowers and animals and symbols. And then several lines of text. One side is a complete paragraph. Well, there was a paragraph there. We're getting bits and pieces of what it was and just beginning to decipher the thing. And it's so exciting because it's going to take a long time to be able to read it, character by character.
It certainly is amazingly interesting. Why do you feel that it could be the most significant archaeological find?
I think because there is so much that you can interpret from this one particular thing. For example, the various pictures that are on it, a lot of it, they show birds, flowers. They're looking at a strange and different place. and they're trying to record everything, you know, that would and to send back to England and say, these are the kind of birds and these are the kind of flowers, and plants, you know, all are on there. And we haven't begun to really interpret these drawings and connect them to find a, you know, really identify which kind of bird is this, you know, and what kind of tree is that, so on. And so that's going to be ongoing. And then just to read the text. And it really personalizes the story of Jamestown. That's what's so cool about it. You know, I think you can read about history and it's kind of non-personal and, you know, this event happened and this movement was going on and all. But then I think people want to connect with history. So that personal connection, boy, then history just comes alive. Boom.
What's your next step in trying to decode this slate?
Well, we've taken it to the Institute of Conservation, Smithsonian, and we've tried reflecting light certain way photography that they do, which will bring out more of this. It makes the scratches have a deeper impression to your eye. It's almost like 3D. And in fact, there's a 3D microscope that we're looking at to see if we can figure out. Does the drawing come before the writing that becomes before the flowers? You know, just to get a chronology of the use of the slate.
How can people follow this story if they want to keep up with your progress in decoding the message?
We're documenting each step of the research. We have a website that is very complete and updated once a month. And we often say, you know, it's not what we find, but what we find out. So that's the deal.
Bill, thanks so much for being with us. And if folks want to follow this on the website, that's historicjamestown.org. That's Jamestown with an E, if you want to find out more about this. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Okay, my pleasure.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. We like hearing from you. Send us a comment at history.org/podcasts. Check back often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.